good day to all, because I'm sure there's those listening in here it is afternoon, but it's a good day to all because this is God's Sabbath, no matter where we are. And we are here before the feast, but I think the fellowship has already started here before Atonement. We got here the Tuesday, and ever since that it's been running around meeting people, having great conversation. And if this is the start before the feast, that the feast should even be better when everybody does get here. And so in that light, I would like to look at what are we to do at the feast. There is a command that we are required to do something, and I'd like to look at that as that it is rejoicing. And so I was looking at this, and I went to the dictionary just to see what does rejoicing say and mean. The dictionary I had, it said, to feel great joy, be glad, take delight, and cause joy. So there's a number of things I was looking at that we are to feel great joy. We are here in ourselves to forget our problems of the world, and we're to feel joy. We're to come together. And to be glad. Who isn't glad to be here? I know I am. We all, I think, that I've met so far here are glad to be here. It is a great time. So there we are fulfilling this to rejoice already and to take delight. And I think here in this Sabbath and the Atonement, everybody took the delight to be able to get together and to come before God and to honor and worship Him. And here comes another part that we can partake in this next week is the last part, to cause joy. Think of the other person. Do what you can to cause them to have a joyous time here. You know, it's not just all about myself or you or me. We need to look after the other person, to take care and to try and make it joyful for them, even right down to the youngest child here. Because we as parents and seniors, we can make the feast joyful for the little ones. And now we'll go to Deuteronomy 16, and starting in verse 11, we'll see where it does command that it is a command for us to rejoice. And Deuteronomy 16 and verse 11, that God does, in the Bible, does require us to rejoice. And this is especially for the Feast of Tabernacles in Deuteronomy 16 and 11. And it starts out, "Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy maids, or the manservant and the maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God has chosen to place his name." There we are. We're to come, and this is talking about the feast. And then if we drop on down into verse 14, so there's three or four spots right here in a row. Verse 14, and he says, "And thou shalt rejoice in the feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy maidservant, or manservant, maidservant, and the Levite and the stranger, the fathers, the widow." We're all supposed to come and to rejoice. And then into verse 15, 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord has chosen. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy increase and in all the works of thy hand. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. We are to surely rejoice here. We should be glad and thankful that God has caused us to have the knowledge to gather together where he has placed his name. And we are here on this Sabbath early, here to start the feast. We haven't started it yet, but we're working up to it, and it's kicking off to a real good start of everybody being happy and joyous. And then I'd like to turn over to Psalm 33 and verse 11. And just carry this on, that God does command us to rejoice. And I think, you know, understanding God's way should cause us to rejoice. Psalm 32 and verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, that ye that are upright in heart." We are here, hopefully upright in heart, because otherwise if we weren't, we probably wouldn't be here to honor and glorify God. So he tells us to rejoice. And then again, down in verse 1 of Psalm 33, again, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. So we're, God, you know, every time he seems to use rejoice, he's usually double announced that we are to rejoice, to enjoy ourselves, to rejoice, to come before him, to honor and glorify him. And it is a great pleasure to be able to come before him. And last, let's just look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. And I guess we could just back it up into verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And then rejoice evermore. Just back to 15, that we are here in the world, and we are an example, and it says, to among yourselves and to all men. So here, especially when we're gathering for the feast, to make sure that we are an example to all the people that are around here, so that God will be honored in what we say and do to those people that are without here that are going to interact with us. And then so that we can rejoice forevermore, looking to the future. And that's what we are here for, Mr. Bowles, Brother Sermis, that we are here to be looking forward, not looking back. We're to look forward to God's kingdom. So go and rejoice and enjoy the feast.